moved from Nigeria to the US, landed a job at Google as a software engineer, and is now building a robotic startup that braids hair. Yes, you heard that right. We no longer have to spend hours at the salon. Isn't that exciting?
Personally, for me, I think this is I felt like it was an equality problem, because if white people or people like non-black people, right, had the texture of our hair, like had curly hair, they would have solved this problem by now. There's absolutely no, like, in my mind, I'm just like, this should not be, like, it should not be a problem today. And why haven't we solved this? And I know, I have the skills to solve it, so why not do it?
Hey friends, welcome back to my Tech Journey podcast. I'm your host, Esther Adebayo, and on today's episode, I'm joined by the brilliant Chisom Okwa, software engineer at Google and the founder and CEO at Braidant. Chisom is using our experience in tech to solve everyday problems, and on this episode, we dive into how and why she pivoted from a business major to a computer science degree, the mindset it takes to land high-paying tech jobs without the traditional prep, how she's balancing her 9-to-5 while building a startup, and how she's using robotics to fix the problem that black women face, particularly when it comes to braiding their hair. This episode is inspiring and practical, especially if you're looking to build your own startup or even break into tech. So, let's get into it. Welcome to the podcast, Chisom. It's so good to have you today. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's a Friday morning, very sunny here in Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the weekend, and I'm looking forward to sharing my experiences with everyone listening as well.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm looking forward to our conversation as well. I'm sure it's going to be fun and really insightful for everyone listening.
So
we do have lots of questions for you, and looking forward to hearing all your experiences. But I think the very first thing I'm curious about is, like, you're doing really amazing, right? I've been following you for a while on LinkedIn, so I'm just curious, what would you say is the person or what experience has had the biggest impact on your life, like, to make you or form you into who you are today? Do you remember the person, the experience that's had the biggest impact?
Biggest impact is definitely my mother. If you meet my mother, you would probably understand why I am the way I am. She's just a very, like, driven woman, you know. Being a Nigerian woman, you know, having to work in Nigeria with all the issues and all, like, the discriminations women face, and, you know, she just showed me that, like, you can do anything as a woman, as a girl, right? You don't have to be limited by what the world tells you to do, how the world tells you to be. You have to shrink yourself to make other people happy, you know. Yeah, my mom is not like that. Like, she's a go-getter. She wants something, she gets it. She plans, she strategizes, you know. So I did learn a lot of that from her, and I'm still learning from her at this point. Like, if I need advice, sometimes we, you know, you know how modern children do, but, like, if I need serious advice, like, she's the first person I would talk to, you know. So it's like, she's my gem. So my mom.
Awesome. That's sweet. Yeah. So I know you work at Google now, and you're a software engineer at Google. And I think a lot of times when people hear, oh, you work at Google, or someone works at Google, they're like, are you serious? That's like the first impression or expression that they have. So what was that experience like for you? Like, have you always planned to work at Google? Was it like a lifelong dream, or it was just based on the situation at that time?
I won't say it's a lifelong. So it became a dream when I started college here in the US. Okay. Before the US, I don't know what my dream was. I was just vibing. All I knew is that, like, I didn't want to study in Nigeria because Nigeria education system has so many issues, and I didn't.
So you finished, like, secondary school in Nigeria?
Yes, in Lagos, and I went to Nigeria Navy. And after that, I was like, there was no school for me, like, because either you go to the federal schools where they are striking up and down.
Like, I suffered it.
They're telling you what to wear, what to eat. And me, I value my personal freedom. I don't want people telling me what to wear. You know, I did that in secondary school. I didn't want to do that again in college, right? So at that point, I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, okay, I'm going to apply and shoot to get a scholarship, right? So I got a scholarship to study here in the U.S. And when I came, I actually studied business administration. I planned to study business administration because like I was an accounting student in Nigeria, like a high school. I was more in the business route because my mom is in the business route and she influenced me. Long story, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. So that was what I planned to do. I didn't know what I wanted. I was never exposed to computer science or coding in Nigeria. I don't think the system did a good job, you know.
No, it didn't.
Or it was mostly boys in the engineering class and things like that. So I just came to study here. And we had to take a mandatory computer science course. At least one computer course in my school.
In your school, as in uni?
Yes, in my university. Okay. So as a business major, I took a computer science course.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was like it's a liberal arts college, so it's they make you take a bunch of random courses, and that's when I knew I liked it was interesting to me, right? Because I felt like the business route was a bit like boring in my opinion. no shades when you went to business. Me,
yeah,
I felt like I just wanted more challenge. It was, you know, just a bit boring, and CF was interesting. There's always something to learn, always something new coming up. It's a very interesting field, lots of opportunities and things like that. I think I just changed my major. I changed my major in my second year. And that's one thing I really value about the U.S. education system is that you can come in not knowing what to do. And you can
make that switch.
Yes. Because some people, even in their third year and their fourth year, they are still changing their...
Really?
Yes. Wow. In their second. So it's like in Nigeria, you're forced, if you start in one route...
Like you have to finish. You just keep struggling, complaining, but you have to...
Know someone that knows someone.
It's not easy to make that switch.
It's not easy to make that switch. So, like, you know, I feel like as a child, as an 18-year-old, you don't have enough experiences to know what you even want. A lot of people are just doing things like, oh, smart people should be in science class. Okay, let's all go there. I don't know math like that, so I'm going to be in art class. So I feel like it just makes you, people learn differently, you know, like, just puts people in places where they don't want to be or they're unhappy. That's why you have a lot of science graduates in Nigeria not happy about where they are.
Exactly.
They would have preferred to do business or something else that worked for them.
Yeah, because you don't even have enough information to make that decision, but somehow it just puts you there.
Exactly, right? So I guess I was lucky and fortunate enough that like I could change. So I just changed computer science, and my school had a lot of like partnerships with companies and things like that, and Google comes to recruit. So I got an internship my first time, and they called me back again. I got a second internship and just gave me a full-time offer, and I just joined them after I graduated. So that was like a very like I'll say fortunate, lucky path, right? Like I just happened to be in a good environment that had
happened to be well positioned.
At the same time, I always say like luck is one thing, but you also have to be prepared. What did they even call it? Like luck meets preparation.
Opportunity meets preparation.
Yeah, something like that. Right? So it's like, if I wasn't willing to take that risk, because even my mom wasn't even too super supportive of the idea, because like, she was like, what is this thing you're changing? You know, just like, you know, just everyone, maybe some people will be like, people always have their opinions, always have their thoughts as to what is good, but you know, you have to just be convicted about it. And like, I think I can do this, even though I wasn't a science major. I didn't take physics in secondary school. There are a lot of things, knowledge gaps I did not have. I needed to fail, but I knew that I could try. I could work hard to actually learn those things. And I was in a good environment that could also like help me like learn and just work extra hard to catch up. Because like there are people in the computer science department who have been coding 5 years before they joined college, right? And those are my classmates. You know, you feel insecure. Oh, this person knows everything, and I'm just coming, and I don't know anything, right? So you have to be willing to be uncomfortable, to put yourself in those, like, difficult situations sometimes. Like, learn things, that ask questions. Like, you have to be comfortable.
Curious.
comfortable to be uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Because if you don't ask questions, if you don't, like, if you don't go through that phrase of like, I don't know, or I feel dumb, you would never come out of it. You just keep being there. Right. So I reach out to people. I spoke to my friends. I was always the one asking questions and like learning from people who know more than me. Right. Because there'll always be someone who knows more than you or who knows better. I was always that student in office hours. My professor was my best friend. I was in her office. Just even though we're not even talking about school, I'm just asking her, how are you? Right. So I was always there, you know, asking questions and just trying to learn. And that's how I was able to like catch up. Right. So I would say like the luck is one thing, but you also have to put in like hard work to position yourself. So when that opportunity comes, you can just take it.
Just like, you take it.
Yeah. So I guess that answers your question to how I got to Google, right?
Yeah, I think that answers my question. But did you have to go through any interview process, or it was just from the internship?
So from the internship, I did go through the interview process.
How was that like?
So we have to prepare a lot. So for I don't know what the landscape is right now because I haven't interviewed externally for like
how long ago was that?
So that was 4 years ago.
Okay.
Over close to 5 years now. Wow, time flies.
Okay.
So, like, I haven't interviewed for a while now. Yeah, maybe almost 6 years. Well, anyways. But like, the landscape is probably changing, and it's different from when you're interviewing like for full time. Mm-hmm. But like, there's lots of competition. Like, a lot of people are, you know, like the industry is now very saturated.
I can imagine.
A lot of people are interviewing, and like, you just have to prepare a lot. Even when I was an intern, like, I did a lot of preparation. Like, for a whole semester, I used to go to my professor's, like, office hours and do mock interviews. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, I want to interview for this company, right? So you have to have projects first. Maybe you have to have projects to show that you can actually work there to actually get the interview. So there are two things. One thing is getting the interview, right, which is also difficult. So you have to have, like, some projects to show that you're a good candidate. Then next, interviewing. And interviewing is a different skill entirely. Like, you can you might know how to build the whole project from start to finish, but not know
if you can communicate it, right? If you can communicate it.
So you have to really train and practice. I know people who spend like 6 months just like practicing for interviews.
For the interview.
Exactly. So you have to spend a while because it's very competitive. You have to, you know, have lots of information. So yeah, that's what I would say. And it's a skill that you can develop.
You can,
so
anyone
can
develop it. So. Okay. Awesome. I'm excited to hear more about Bradant. Is it the same thing as Not Robotics?
Yes.
Is it a change of name?
Yeah, we're currently going through a rebrand. So the company is registered as Not Robotics.
Okay.
But we wanted to make it more user focused and more user like make the brand more user friendly and to convey what we're actually trying to solve. But the company is still registered as Not Robotics.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I really love it. I think that was one of the things that like really sparked my curiosity. I was like, okay, I think I want to chat with you because just being able to combine AI robotics to I've never seen the idea before. Mm-hmm. So when I saw it, just being able to, you know, make people braid their hair, just giving them tools that can instantly braid their hair. I think for me, it's just one of the things that when your product is out, I'll go and get, because I struggle. I struggle with going to the salon, right?
I'm sure. We're the same people.
I struggle like with going to the salon, and for me, it's just a chore. Like, why do I? I just want my hair braided, and I want it nice. So
exactly.
So just coming up with that is
not too much to ask.
Yeah, it's not too much to ask. So, what sparked that interest? Like, I know that, you know, you struggle going to salon, but for me, like, I was not interested in even creating a solution for that. So what point did you get to that you're like, I think I want to, you know, create a solution for this? Quick pause from the episode, because if you've been job hunting and feeling stuck, I need you to hear this. Hired is my 3-day career accelerator that I designed for folks like you, those that are tired of applying, hearing nothing back, and want a step-by-step guide on how to land your dream tech job. Inside Hired, I don't just talk about how to fix your resume based on generic advice. I actually walk you step-by-step on how to craft an 8-year and keyworded optimized resume that attracts recruiters. And that's not all. I also teach you how to turn your LinkedIn profile into a direct job invite magnet. I'll also show you how to craft a job search plan that saves you time and gets you results. People like Bukola join Hired, follow the steps, and has this to say: Hired is the most step-by-step plan I've come across. I finally know what to do every single day. Now Bukola is on her way to land her dream role, and you could be the next. If you're tired of guessing and want a real strategy that works, then visit thefreelancehq.com/hired or check the description box below for a link to save your seat. Let's get you hired. Now back to the episode.
So after I finished high school, I learned how to braid hair for a while. So I used to go to like this. Okay. What did they call it? Well, so I was learning. There's a word for
it. Hairdresser.
Yes, like I was a assistant to one hairdresser.
Okay.
So I can't remember the name. Like there's a name for it. But anyways, okay. I learned how to braid hair, and when I came here in the US, I was like braiding hair for students once in a while, and just like to make some like pocket money for myself and just like do it for myself. So yeah, I think maybe like that was what's one primary thing that inspired me. Another thing was that like I feel like personally for me, I think this was I felt like it was an equality problem, because if say white people or people like non-black people, right, had the texture of our hair, like had curly hair, they would have solved this problem by now.
I feel so, yeah.
I feel like it was intentional. It's an ignored problem. Like it's just like we're having this problem. Like a lot of women are facing this issue. Not even women. Everyone who braid, like men, women, you know. But it's primarily our issue because we are the ones who braid hair more. Braid hair, but like maybe just for fun. Like, we don't need
ours
to
is like almost us, every day.
Exactly, like we have to, because like it has to, we have to protect our curls, right? So it helps us protect our curls, so your hair is not breaking, your hair is not damaged. So it's more like a need than a, you know, than like a, I don't know, I should,
they want,
I want, yes. So right, like, and like for me, I really value my time, and I feel like time is the most precious resource, and I see no reason why in this day and age, 2025,
I'll go to the salon and spend hours.
Spend 8 hours getting my braids.
Oh my gosh.
There's absolutely no, like, in my mind, I'm just like, this should not be, like, it should not be a problem today. And why haven't we solved this? And I know, like, I have the skills to solve it, so why not do it? So I guess for me, it's like, it's those things I just think about. So like, this thing needs to be, like, I have a strong body. Something I've always, like, been interested in, like, even from college, I've just been like, this is something that I want to see in the world, right? If it's in the world, it'll make my life a lot easier, a lot better. I like to look nice. I like to look beautiful. I also like to experiment with my hair. My hair is, like, brown today. It's gold tomorrow. So, like, if I can make my hair, like, every month, different styles, you know, I'll just be happier. I'll feel, like, happier, more confident, etc. Yeah. But, like, thinking about driving 35 minutes to find a salon, then I get, like, you know, it's just, like, so much.
First, even book appointments. Like, it's appointments, just too stressful.
Someone consults on you. The entire industry is just broken. and needs people to fix it, right? And I think it's better that we are the ones fixing this problem. Like, it's affecting us. We understand the problem more than other people, right? It's our problem to actually fix. So I guess, like, that's what sparked
your, like,
things lined up with like my skills, you know, like I know how to program, I'm an engineer, so it's like there are a lot, like it's like I can do it. So why not just do it, right?
It's you combining your love for like hair, looking good, fashion, that kind of thing, with the tech that you already have the skills. Okay,
so solving a real problem that like people like me actually face. So.
Yeah, I think it's really good because it's very scoped to our own kind of problem. And I think that's why there's been no solution, because it's very particular for, like, black folks, people of color.
Yes, it's it's a niche problem, but it's actually a billion-dollar problem.
Because it is.
If you see the amount of money people spend on their hair, like, if you
tell me about it.
See luxury braiders charging $1,000. Like, I'm not spending that. I'm not doing that. But even like on the average side, like at least the price of braids are going up. Initially, you could get braids done for like, at least in the US, for like $150. You cannot find that now. Like, you cannot.
Really? So, like, no. I know here you can find braids for about £100.
Oh, but, wow. In Seattle here, you cannot.
It's like a high income skill. Braiding is now a high income skill.
Exactly. Because,
oh my gosh.
Because of like, I think now we have a more of a demand supply issue. There are few people who can actually braid or who are willing to invest that time. I can braid hair, but I'm not braiding hair, right? Because like
that's not what you want to do with your
because
time.
I know my I'm getting paid more at Google per hour than to braid hair. I will probably charge $1,000.
You'll be like the luxury braiders, right?
I will probably be charging because my time is not just.
Your time is precious. Yeah.
So exactly. So people are now like, you know, at this point I'm braiding, so I'm, you know. So it's now like a luxury service, right? So yeah, like at least here in Seattle, like you just the average like for braids, like the kind of braids you have right now would be like $300. Like it's even boho, so it's like
it's like
$350.
Oh my gosh!
So imagine like I'm kind of person who braids my hair, who wants to braid hair every 6 weeks or so.
Like, that's like how much money you're spending just braiding.
Exactly right. You have to still just braiding. There are other hair care services you need to do. You know, buy conditioners, make sure your hair is like moisturized, etc. So like, there's just so much money in that industry that. In terms of like at least financial prospects, like it is a big market problem that we can solve while also making people like happier, right? Because at least for me, I'm just like, at least someone was saying that like, oh, I had a quote somewhere. If I didn't have to spend all this time braiding my hair, I mean, I've had the time to be president by now.
Right?
like you know, if I'm all the time I'm spending on my hair from. Braiding the hair to loosening the hair to just deciding what style I want to make,
and this has been from when we were young up until now.
I would have been present, I swear. So
I'm not gonna argue.
So that's my thought. Yeah. That's my thought on the matter. Like it's a real problem that just needs to be solved. So
Cheering you on, but when you had the idea, what was the first step you took to like start working on the idea, and did you face or are you facing any challenges, any technical challenges from like, you know, it's one thing to actually have an idea, it's another thing to be able to see this idea come to life. So what was that whole process like, the first step you took, and any technical challenges that you've encountered so far?
Oh yeah, I mean, being an entrepreneur is not easy. Like, lots of challenges every day. You learn it's a very fulfilling experience because you learn so much just along the way. But I guess like when I had the idea, the first thing I did was like to share it with someone in a similar space, right? So maybe like someone, maybe not in the hair care space, but maybe someone who's an engineer building a robotics company, right? So, like, just get perspective. Oh, I had this idea, and you're doing something similar. What do you think? Right? Because sometimes, a lot of times, we get stuck in our heads. You have ideas, and you think that, like, not sharing it to other people is actually the best thing.
You want to protect the idea.
Yeah, nothing like that. When you have an idea, you should. I mean, there are limits to it, though. Sometimes, maybe, like, it depends on the situation.
Depending on the idea.
I want to just go sell the idea and just give it someone who's like, you know, depends on where you are.
And who you're also talking with. Yeah, exactly.
But generally, like, like sharing the idea is not enough. Like, a lot of people won't act on it or may not be able to even solve it or things like that. I mean, you're probably not even the only one who's thought about it, right? Maybe there are one or two other people who've thought about it. So, like, it's finding people to talk to about the idea, right? This is what I'm thinking. This way I am. You know, what does this make sense to you? You know, just share it to other people. Again, because once you share it, like, yeah, also kind of like you also kind of have more responsibility to act on it, at least for me.
That's how I hold you accountable.
Exactly. That's how I see things. If I tell my friend, oh, I'm thinking about this idea, I want to build this app or something, and it comes to me in the next 6 months, I'm like, Chisom, where's the app? And I'm like, so I want to, like, at least for me, I like to keep to my word. If I see I'm going to do something, I say I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, right? So it's like, it's nice to be able to share the idea and have someone be accountable with that. Okay, this is what you said. So that's one. Two, that's just like the basics, like document it, like, you know, you have to like treat it like, if you want to start a business, you have to treat it like an actual business, right? Write a, you know, executive summary, like what is the problem I'm going to solve, you know, who am I solving it for, what is the solution, what is the market looking like, who are other people in the industry, like who are the big players here, what can I get out of this, what is my mission, what is my vision, you know, just like put it down. Because a lot of time, maybe you might have an idea, but you might realize after doing research that like maybe it's not the most viable thing. So go out there and actually do your research. What is the market like? What are the opportunities? What are the risks? So do all that analysis and have it documented down. Then you can look into things like, okay, let me like start working on this. Maybe I can make a website, right? I could register my company. I could start looking for people to talk to in the space. Like maybe I've spoken to like a bunch of other like beauty tech founders in the space as well, just to see what are the problems you face, like as a Black woman, especially building something like this. Do you get pushback? How do you? So just learn from them. Like you're not at that point, you are not an expert in the actually as a first time founder, you're not an expert. You have a lot to learn, and trust me, everything you think you know, you
need to relearn.
You have to relearn. You have to relearn everything you think you know, because the industry is interesting, right? So I think those are like the preliminary steps that you're gonna take. Like we're still pretty early, like in our process, right? Still like developing actual products, still building. So you have to like start building, right? And find people who can build with you, because a lot of times, like it's hard doing things on your own. You get like lots of emotional pushback, you get some no's, you get some, like, you know, so if you have someone to bounce ideas off, you just work faster. Someone to hold you accountable, someone to bounce ideas off, someone to work with, it just makes things easier. So people are the greatest resource you can ever have. So if you can have like good people working with you on a project, that will just make your life easier, like people to get ideas from, you know, because you're not like, your mind is limited. Like you have to expand your mind. So things beyond, outside of yourself, to other people, to books. So like you might think you know a lot, but trust me, you just
see a lot that you need to learn.
You just do not. So just keep that open mind, and you know, and just try your best to keep putting in the work every day.
Do you currently have like a team, or is it still you solo?
I'm the solo founder, but like I have like people I work with. I have like an engineer from Boston Dynamics. I have a UX designer that I'm working with that helps with my design. I have like other founders as well that like I bounce ideas off. It's pretty like early, but I do have people that like are supporting me and like are working with me at the same time.
Okay. Have you done like funding, raise funds and all of that?
Yeah, yet? I'm working on it. It's funding is like one small part of the process. It's not like the, like a lot of times people say, okay, oh, this person has raised $3 million. Okay, good. Right. It's nice to say those things, but like funding is not everything, right? Like the more you can build out your products without raising funds, I guess for me, the better for you, because you get
to totally agree.
More equity in your company, right? Yeah. A lot of people, yeah, say they raise $10 million. You own 0.1% of that company.
Literally an employee in your company.
Exactly. Like, you should be scrubbing toilets at that point, right? So it's like, people glorify raising, which is important. Like, at some point, we definitely need to raise over $1 million for sure. Right? If we want to scale, if we want to, you know, but like that's not everything. Like, you know, like, and again, you can choose when to do that. Like we're currently building, and at some point we'll be more aggressive on like raising, right? So once we build enough that like we're not just coming without leverage. Like, we have leverage. Like, say we have, like, some customers, or we have that. So, like, the conversations that we're having would be different, right? So, yeah, like, I feel like, actually, what we're even trying to even do now is, like, apply for grants. Like, things, non-dilutive funding that won't, like, you know, just...
Non-dilutive.
Share ideas. Exactly, and get non-dilutive funding. Then at some point, when we have enough money and, like, you know, a lot of, like, base capital, then we can start, like, you know, talking to, like, VCs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we're not in a hurry, but hopefully by next year, that would be the case.
Okay, yeah, I agree, because I think a lot of times when people think about startups, they just think about funding, and to be fair, it's not usually the first thing you want to focus on as a startup, especially because funding, the way I say funding, is like a pressure cooker, right? Because it just forces you to make decisions that may not necessarily be in line with what your, you know, customers want, but it's in line with what investors want. And you just realize that it's like a rat race. You're just chasing just to meet up with what the investors want, to get their money. And the what you started to enjoy, like what you genuinely enjoy that made you start the company in the first place, it just disappears, right?
So. Yeah, at least for me, like, I'm happy, like, bootstrapping and just doing grads for now.
At your own pace?
At my own pace. And the goal is to, like, get to market next year, right? So, like, it's just very, very small V1 prototype, but, like, get to market, get into the hands of customers, talk to hairstylists, and ask them to use our product and actually test it. So I'm prioritizing, like, that, because sometimes you get into the rat chase of funding. Like, funding, more funding, more funding, more funding, more funding. But, like, you just forget about, like, the actual business and the actual thing you're building. And it's just me right now and a few other people. So I don't even have too much bandwidth. So, like, you know, I'm focusing on, like, building right now.
I love it. And when you have the prototype, please send my way so I can also test.
I got you.
Yeah, no worries. And final question, Chisom. How do you balance? Because I know it's a lot, like, working at Google, having a 9-to-5, having your own thing. Like, how do you really prioritize what's important today, what's important tomorrow, without you burning out and feeling stressed out?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, the idea of balance to me, I don't know, like, generally, I don't believe in, like, finding balance.
Yeah.
Right, like, life is not, like, you can try to reduce the chaos. You can try as much as possible to reduce chaos, like, reduce, like, maybe the chaos at work as much as possible, reduce the chaos at your company as much as possible. But get to that state where you're, like, you hardly hear people say, wow, everything is great, everything is perfect, everything, you know, I mean, maybe at some point, that's the goal, right? Things will gradually get better, but you just have to try your best to reduce chaos as much as possible. I wouldn't say, oh, like, work is, like, fantastic. Like, it's going well. Like, I'm good. My manager is happy with me. Yeah. You know, everyone is happy with me. But I would say, oh, I'm the top performing employer at Google. I'm probably not. Right. So it's like, at the end of the day, you have to make sacrifices here and there. And, like even at my company as well, I wouldn't say, like, I'm the best startup founder, right? Like, I'm the most efficient in everything. You know, sometimes I'm just like, I'm sleeping today, honestly.
Can't come and kill myself.
Exactly. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. But it's about, like, making time to show up every day, right? Mm. Like, just every day. And sacrifices will definitely be made. And you have to decide, like, where you're going to make the sacrifices, right? Like, there are things I prioritize in my life. I prioritize my family. I prioritize my friends. So if there are ways that, like, I can do, like, I can, like, in terms of, like, just actually, like, things to do, like, I like to exercise and work out, right? Like, and it would be nice if I can exercise and work out with my friends, because I get to, like, hang out with them and do something that I need to do and I like to do as well, right? So it's like killing two birds with one stone. See, like, oh, my friend, we work together on a project, and, like, maybe we work together, like, I'm working and I'm working with them, I'm still hanging out with them, right? But I'm also aligned with everything that stuff, So finding ways you can align, like, the things that you have to do and the things maybe you want to do is a good way to like manage your time, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I don't know, want to yeah, things like that, like exercising and hanging out with my friends is a good one, right? So if my friends tell me, oh hey, let's go to this club, I'm saying no for the most part at least, right? At least for some time. If they tell me, oh hey, so let's play tennis, I'll say yes, because I know I still need to work out regardless, right? And if I do it to someone who like I want to hang out with, then that was just saves me a bunch
makes
of
it
time.
Easy.
And okay. I can like I do other things with my time. So it's about like finding alignment in your life,
finding that thing, those things that align, and blending them to like do them at the same time as opposed to doing little things.
So just finding ways to be more efficient. So I don't know if they like, you know, time, you know, work-life balance is there. Like right now, I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I'm not married or anything. Like people who are married with like 5 kids and they have to go to work. Like sometimes I wonder how our parents even did it. Like, you have kids, you have everyone to work, you have to drive.
You have to do your own thing.
You have to take care of yourself. Gosh. Right. So it's like, when
only 24 hours.
Only 24 hours, right? Like, so I'm like, I didn't even, at least now we even have like washing machine, everything is automated.
Have things to make your life easier.
Like, robot vacuum cleaner, don't worry about cleaning. So it's like, there are things like I know to do. So if I'm not focusing on things like work and like my startup and like my friends and family, I think that's like not the worst in terms of like, you know, things I have to like manage and balance in my life. But yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's like a lot of things I just don't do, like like maybe someone else like who's not doing everything would do. Like I hardly watch TV. I'm hardly on social media except LinkedIn. Like there are a lot of things that I don't have to say no to. Like when you just rank them and you're like, which one is serving me the most, or which one is more important?
Like priority.
It's not like they are bad things, you know. It'd be nice
it's just
to,
for you in this moment of your life.
Yeah, for this moment of my life is just like not priority.
Okay. So what would you say to any body out there that is listening and watching, and they have that urge or that notion, you know, they want to create something, they want to build a business, but they still have their full-time career and they're scared of even testing the waters because it feels overwhelming for them, like being able. So what's that piece of advice that you give someone like that?
I would say like start small, right? Don't compare yourself to someone who's been working on their company for 10 years of their life. They are probably way ahead, probably have a lot more, you know, time to invest, probably have a lot more connections, right? So if you can just start by documenting this idea, what exactly is even going to go, like, what exactly do I even need to do to even start? Like, right, like, is this even have you even, like, thought about, like, validating the idea? Is this even a viable idea, right? So just start small, and those things probably would take like maybe 1 hour. In 1 hour, you can use ChatGPT to do. In fact, now we have like AI tools.
Yeah, lots of them.
So there are a lot of things that you can use to make your life more efficient. You don't have to do everything from scratch. You can just start a chat with ChatGPT or Gemini, and just like, you know, I have this idea. You know, help me break it down. What are the? Is this viable? Right. Like so, there are small steps you can actually take, or maybe having a conversation with a friend. You know, so just take the small steps. You don't have to be big. I won't even advise you, like I haven't quit my full-time job yet, right? I won't even advise you to even like just do that, right? So you have to get to a certain point where you feel like things are stable enough and you're confident enough, and you know, because that is what it's like. You need to pay your bills, take care of yourself, right? So you have to get to a point where you can actually take that very big step. Well, I would say small steps. Like, don't be afraid to be uncomfortable. Maybe people's opinion will always be there. People always have something to say, and it changes from day to day. So someone might feel this way today about you, tomorrow they feel a different way. So you're basing your goals based on like
people's opinion.
Yeah, just doing yourself a whole disservice, because at the end of the day, tomorrow they may not even care about you, or they may not even care about the topic anymore. So it's like, their opinion is none of your business, right? So just do the things that you feel convicted about, and just like do the things that you want to be what you want to see in the world. essentially.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much, Chisom. This has been a very enjoyable conversation. Thanks for sharing your journey with us.
And thank you for giving me this platform to do that.
You're welcome. I'm definitely going to be cheering you on as you continue to grow Bradent, and excited to see when it finally launches and hits the market.
Yeah, we'll be reaching out.
No worries. I'll be happy to be one of your first users.
Oh, yeah. I got you for sure. Yeah,
no worries. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and I'll see you in another episode. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Yeah.